Well, that was beautiful.
Amen.
And Brother David, you make it hard to follow. I do have one correction from this morning. I would never murder my children. I hope y'all would know that. And when that word came out, I was like, oh, that was one of those ones that...
Put the thought at the curb.
And then Brother David gets up and talks about how much he loves his son. It's like, I meant to say that. I really meant to say that. So... Brother David, God richly blessed you to bring that message, and I will remember that beautiful lesson that God blessed us to hear.
Yes.
Certainly don't want to take anything away from it, but let's look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come.
Yeah.
And we know that He hath given us an understanding.
Yeah.
That we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life.
Yeah, amen.
I tell you, I'm not worthy to try to speak on that, but let's go to a few places and we'll just trust in the Lord to give us something. We know that the Son of God has come. We know that. Y'all, there's not an ounce of, not an iota of doubt in my mind that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth, lived, and died upon a cross, shed His blood for the sins of His people. I believe that with every fiber of my being. We know that the Son of God has come.
Yeah.
I tell you, maybe our wilderness experiences, Brother David, may be a little bit easier than those in the Old Testament. They believed He would come. We know that He did come.
Amen.
Wow. Matthew chapter 27, we find recorded. Just one quick verse. Matthew chapter 27. And, we'll get a couple of verses. Verse 50, Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after His resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now get this. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God.
That's right. Amen.
There was no doubt in their mind after seeing what had happened. Can you imagine hearing Him say who He was? That I am I am my Father one. I am He that my Father sent. And probably thinking, as many in that day, you're a blasphemer, you're a blasphemer. And He dies upon the cross. And the rocks rent, the earthquakes. And I saw the sky darken before that. And all of this happens. And it is so much evidence that even the centurion and those with him said, truly, this was the Son of God.
That's right.
They knew He had come. Even though He was right there with them, they didn't know, but now they knew that He had come.
Right.
I love thinking about in Acts chapter 9, and Verse 22, but Saul, right? Saul, this is after his road to Damascus experience, of course, and after he had been preached to and the scales fell from his eyes. He was blessed to see and to understand. Let me get the verse before. And I love verse 20. All right, verse 20. And straightway, right after he was preached to and his eyes were open, straightway he went to preaching. I love that. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now, he had just spent his life putting people who were preaching the same thing into prison, giving authority for them to put them to death. And now he's in the synagogues preaching and proving. I love that. That he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent?" He was coming there for the intent to put more people in prison or to put more people to death. Now he's preaching the same doctrine he was about to, that he was, that's just amazing, isn't it? And that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. I tell you what, dear friends, we know the Lord has come. We know He's the Son of God, and we know He's the very Christ that was prophesied for many centuries, and He has come, and He has conquered, and He's victorious, and He's seated upon the throne of glory today. We know that the Lord has come. The Son of God has come. That just amazes me. I don't know if that means he proved what, days after he proved that man Jesus was very Christ, was the Christ, was the Messiah. He continues on just 17:3. Paul, as his manner was, verse 2, went in unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Now, I'm assuming there weren't any epistles written at this point, or any of the four Gospels. And so, he's using the Old Testament, right, to prove some things to these Jews. And he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ.
Amen.
Is Christ. He is Christ. We know that the Son of God has come. And then he says, and hath given us an understanding. It's amazing that the Lord saved his people. It's amazing that he sent his only begotten Son to do the work. It's the only way it could have happened, right? But it's amazing that he also gave us an understanding of these things. And we know. He gave us an understanding. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," there you go, Brother Josh, "who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." Whoa! Did y'all get all that? There's that light again too, dear brother. "He has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God through the face of Jesus Christ." Amen. And he goes on, he says, "And we have this treasure." Friends, this is the greatest treasure we have today. It's the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he came and he died for me.
Yeah.
I'm not worthy, you're not worthy, but he came to save sinners. And that's us.
That's right.
He's given, we have, this is a treasure And we have that in these earthen vessels.
Yes.
We have that in these earthen vessels. What is, I'll murder this, but what does Jeremiah say? Glory not in your might, glory not in your strength and your thoughts or whatever it goes, but you glory in this. That, well, I can't get it. That's, I murdered it. There's that word again. I need to get away from that. Oh my goodness. I don't know, but let me read it and get it exactly right. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understand and knoweth me.
Right.
God said that.
Yeah.
This is what we glory in.
That's right.
That's some of that honey, I think, yeah. Brother.
Yeah.
Is that we understand and knoweth God. What? That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. We know. 1 John chapter 5. I might as well just read the whole chapter, right? I think I've covered almost every verse, just about. But listen in verse 11. And this, we could read a lot more, but and this is the record. There's a record. There's a record that's been left. And here it is. That God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. We know that. Verse 13, John says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, isn't that interesting that he's writing to those that believe on the name of the Son of God so that they would know that they have eternal life, but that they also might believe on the name of the Son of God? Well, you're writing to them because they believe. Let's believe more. I tell you what, dear friends, may God bless us to be more like the Apostle Paul as he records in Philippians chapter 3 when he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I tell you what, dear friends, what we ought to be for the next 200 years, I hope New Hope Church and all of us, wherever our home church may be, will devote our lives to knowing Him, learning about Him, winning Him, getting to know Him, the fellowship of His sufferings, let's just keep going. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made more conformable unto His death. And I love what Paul says. He says, guess what? There's this knowledge. There's this closeness, this nearness that I want with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm trying to get there. And I'm striving. I'm pressing into that kingdom. And I want that nearness. I want that fellowship with my Lord, with my Savior. But he says, not as though I had already attained. Listen, I'm trying to attain it, but I'm not there yet. It's something that we ought to live every single day of our life, striving, pressing, and trying to learn more and more about our Savior.
Amen.
He says, not that I've already attained.
Right.
In fact, I don't know if we'll ever get there, right? Not as though I already attained. Either we're already perfect. But I follow after.
Yeah.
If that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended.
Amen.
Of Christ Jesus. I tell you what, dear friends, I believe the Lord, we're in the hand of Christ and no man can pluck us out. The hand of God. I think the Lord has His arms wrapped around us, His people. And He'll never let them go.
Right.
nothing. What does Paul say? Not life, nor death, nor angel, nor devil, nor principality, nor power, nor anything present or anything to come, nor any other creature can be able to separate His people from the love of God in Christ. So we've been apprehended. And there's nothing, there's no power that can pry those arms, right? The everlasting arms of God. May God bless us to apprehend Him.
Yeah.
Grab Him and never let go.
Yeah.
And never let go. Brother Paul, what else did we find in John chapter 17 in the Lord's Prayer? And this is life eternal. That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Do y'all realize God's eternal life is a gift. It was given to us by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's an aspect of that eternal life that we can hold on to. We have it now, but we can grasp onto it now.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And it's what's going to help me get through the wilderness experiences, I believe, right, is that I know Him, that I know God, and that I know His Son, Jesus Christ. That is life eternal. Wow. Knowledge is great. Absolutely. But we just know in part. No matter how much God blesses us to know and understand, we know that it's just part. Right? It's just part. I'm all over the place, I know it. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away.
Right.
Y'all, I think I've forgotten so much more than I can keep in my mind.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my goodness, how much have I lost? But knowledge can slip away, for we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I was thinking of this, and I'll close with a couple of scriptures. Thought of this, Brother Josh, when you were preaching last night about Moses. It might have been Brother Paul. Y'all, they're like one sermon now last night. And so I don't know who said what. I'll give you both credit. I'll give the Lord credit.
Amen, that's right.
But Moses asked to see the glory of God.
Wow.
And God answered that prayer as best God. That's not the right way to put it. The only way God could. Because we can't see the glory of God in this condition and live. We know that. So He just put Him in that cleft. And He covered Him with His hand. And the glory of God passes by. Now, I love the I think, you know, that hinder parts. I think it's just the afterglow of the passing of the glory of God was so bright that Moses' face shined. And Moses' face was so bright, people of Israel couldn't look at it. So, all right, so I can't, it's so bright, the afterglow of the passing of the glory of God's effect on Moses' face is that bright that you can't look at it. Can you imagine what the actual glory of God is?
Right.
And I truly believe that as God's people receive such wonderful blessings in the Old Testament, friends, I believe we are even more blessed today in the New Testament church.
Amen.
Our blessings are greater. Again, they looked for the Savior. We know He's come. They had that 400 years of silence we heard about. We can come together anytime we want and call on a man who's been called by God to preach the good news of our salvation anytime we want. I mean, wow. You miss Sunday? What? I mean, we could meet every day, right? We could. So since we only meet once a week, why aren't we there? But sorry. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about that old ministration, the law, the ministration of the law. And then he talks about the New Testament, the ministration of the Spirit. And he even brings in the story of Moses when his face shone as an example of that. So Paul says there was glory in that old ministration. Even though it was the ministration of death, there was glory in it. There was light. There was beauty. It shone forth. Look at Moses. That's pretty bright, right? But the ministration of the Spirit, Paul says, is so much more brighter,
right,
that it made the ministration of the law seem like it didn't have any glory at all. It would be like the moon being out at night, and as soon as the sun comes up, you really don't see the light of the moon anymore because the moon in its fullness, right, is beautiful at night. But the sun comes up, it outshines the moon so much. I know it's the... Don't get into the science of it. Just get into the actual, what we think, right? It outshines the moon so much, it's like, well, there's no glory to the moon. Not like it was last night. Because the brightness of the sun makes it seem like there's no glory at all. That's what the New Testament did to the Old Testament service. Our worship services are so great, so wonderful, so beautiful, so spiritual, so illuminating. It's like the worship of God in the Old Testament was nothing.
Yeah, right.
That's how good we have it today.
Amen.
And friends, the light and the glory that we'll see in heaven will outshine what we have today so much we won't even think about today.
Yeah.
Because it's going to outshine the glory we have now.
Amen.
But thanks be unto God, we have that glory, we have that knowledge now.
Yeah.
Let's press into the kingdom and learn more and more. All right, so I will set Psalm 73, and I will quit with this. The 73rd Psalm. And this really doesn't have anything to do with what I just said. But I want to leave this with you. It goes with a lot of what we've heard. Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel.
Yeah.
Amen.
Even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people run hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? They're mocking God. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the, it says world, but can I say wilderness? There, brother. Who prosper in the world, they increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Thank you. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus as David, right? Behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. And when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I think David was throwing himself a pity party, which we are apt to do ourselves, are we not? Sometimes I like to throw that party, invite all my friends, right? Come on. Oh, woe is me. And, you know, make me feel better by saying how bad things are for me. That's what David was doing. And then he said, when I thought about it, it was just, when I think, and I agree, when I think about these things, it's just too painful. It's just too painful. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant I was as a beast before thee. But then he says, if I can put it in, then I came into thy sanctuary. And then I understood. Nevertheless, I think David's asking for forgiveness, right? When he came in the sanctuary, he said, Lord, I was an idiot. I was dumb, all right? I confess my stupidity to you, Lord, for having that pity party and not trusting in you. But oh, coming into the sanctuary reminded me. It brought that sweet knowledge back to remembrance. That nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. I like that. I tell you what, dear friends, I love, no matter how bad things can get in this life, just come to the sanctuary. You're going to hear something that will ease your pain, that will make those horrible thoughts about how bad it is in the world go away, because you're going to come in here and you're going to realize God's always been with you. He's always led you. He's always protected you. And oh, by the way, afterward, we're going into heaven, right? We're going to glory. It's going to be okay. I remember Elder Guthrie say that. It's going to be okay in the resurrection. Y'all remember that sermon many years ago at New Hope? It's going to be okay in the resurrection. And afterward, receive me to glory. Who have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Amen.
For we know that the Son of God has come. Now, let me get it. As much as I've read it, I should have it memorized, but I don't. And hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I butchered that. I apologize, but that's some good preaching, y'all.